Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Ray Rossini, host of MSP Dispatch. In this special report, we're going to bring you something. We always like to bring you interesting items that happen at a certain point in time that may have a significant impact on you or how you service your partners or your clients. This one is absolutely no different. In today's special report, we're going to be covering how a BEC, business email compromise scam, hit one of our beloved security vendors in the space, Huntress Labs, and how they were almost scammed out of over $100,000. And to talk to me about this and give us the backstory is Miss Danielle O'Rourke of Huntress. How are you doing, Danielle?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So this seems pretty harrowing, and I definitely, $100,000 is no small number. But before we get into it, let's learn a little about you. What's your role at Huntress? How long have you been there?
Sure. My role is the Senior Director of Finance, and I've been at Huntress a little over a year and a half.
Okay.
And so really kind of like all of the financial reporting and analysis, that's the bulk of my role there.
So prior to your tenure at Huntress, have you ever had something like this occur in your previous businesses?
The only other time is really just the wire fraud, the typical wire fraud email that all of us have gotten, has been the extent of my experience with this.
So something I love with this is, A, it happens to a major player in the security space for MSPs. B, how transparent you guys are about this, because this happens and you guys put up a blog post. Anybody else is like hair on fire trying to figure out what's going on. The Huntress way is like, yes, we're going to solve it, and also we're going to document and share with everybody else, right? And for those that aren't aware, Huntress had it was a development box. It wasn't a big deal, but there was an RDP compromise in one of their dev boxes, sandbox boxes, and they wrote a whole blog article. We'll find the link and put in the show notes. Again, awesome transparency. Cloudflare does this as well. Love to see it. So the reason I wanted to have you on, though, normally we have Ethan, or we have John Hammond, or anybody else, but I didn't want to get the technical answer. I wanted to get the business answer, okay? Because technology, the weird thing about this, or the wonderful thing about this, technology didn't stop the problem. People stopped the problem. And for all the MSPs out there that talk to their clients and get frustrated sometimes at clients don't want to use MFA, or they don't want to follow policies, and they don't want to do the phishing training and everything else, that's exactly what prevented this here. So Danielle, can you give us some background, like what happened early August with this? What happened exactly?
Sure. So we have a vendor that we've worked with in the past. They sent us an invoice that we were expecting for $103,000, and we have always paid them historically through ACH. So we initiated the ACH payment and then sent the confirmation details to the vendor. The vendor then reached out two or three days later saying their bank had been compromised and that they were gonna get back to us with details immediately, but to stop payment on the ACH. And then a few hours later, go ahead.
And that, I wanna stop you right there. That in itself is not odd. That happens.
No. Exactly.
Right. Like, I'd imagine you get those. It sucks that it happens, but it's a part of business. I imagine you've gotten those emails regularly over your career. Just somebody reaches out and says something happened. Stop this. Right. So were there any red flags at that point?
No, there wasn't. And, we're pretty adamant about checking the email, the details and all of that. And there was no red flags. This was a known email that we had been working with in the past. And so,
without giving any kind of secrets, can you share with us what you typically look for yourself as to what would stand out as a questionable email?
The typical stuff, just opening the source and then double checking that the actual name that's popping up in the email also ties back to what you would see in the actual email itself, and like who the sender is. That's usually one of our just first double checks of, is the sender tying back to the name that's appearing in the email?
And that seems reasonable. And the reason I wanted to hear it from you, not from me, is because we have a lot of MSPs that question security awareness training and question the efficacy of that. And you're not a technical person. You're not in a technical role. Well, I don't want to make assumptions about your technical acumen, but you're not serving in a technical role.
I'm not a security expert.
You're not a security expert, but this is just part of your day-to-day business. This is just part of how you do things. So you see the email, stop, don't send us any transfers. Something's wrong. What's your next step?
So we just were waiting for the vendor to get back to us, which they did within a few hours with the new bank information that we should send the ACH to, which we, as soon as we see any changes of banking information, one of our protocols is to call the vendor directly and ensure that that is the case, which is what we did. And this is when we found out that their email had been compromised and the vendor was completely unaware of these communications that had been going back and forth with us.
So we'll get into how fun that phone call must have been in a minute. But also I'm looking at, so just that process of saying, we're going to change things that we've already agreed to handle a certain way. There's been some change to the normalcy. So we're going to use a different method of authentication, a different method of confirmation. Because at the end of the day, that's really the linchpin here that like solved the, or I raised the red flag of, hey, this is a problem, right? This, that was the point of, oh no, something's wrong, right?
Exactly. And that's just have something that we've had in place amongst our team is any changes in banking information is a call directly to the source.
And is that, do you find that as a business person, a finance person, do you find that to be, does it create any unnecessary challenges for you doing your job? Is it like an inordinate obstacle or is just...
Absolutely not. Exactly. It's a phone call and it's very, I mean, it's not that many times that vendors are changing their banking information because it is a big deal to change your banks. So it's not something 100%. That's easy to do, and which is why it's also something that sticks out as being unusual to us.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I bring it up, because I'm trying to remove all the, sometimes MSPs I was guilty of this too when I was an MSP, get in our own heads of making excuses why the client would never do this or why the staff would never do these policies. And so hearing it firsthand from someone that actually is affected by these policies on a regular basis, checking the email, just quick cursory glances of, does the name match? Does this match? And just quick follow-up processes, different method of authorization, pick up the phone, have a phone call separate from the channel of communication that you got that email. Little tiny things, but literally made $100,000 difference.
True.
So you call the vendor, you tell the vendor, hey, I'm, you know, just calling to confirm, or not you. I know it was one of your staff members.
Yeah.
Heard the blog. She calls and says, hey, you know, I think Darla was the name you guys were using as the fictitious name for the vendor. Hey, Darla, your account, we're going to change your account. We just calling to authorize. What was the response, if you know, from the vendor? Like, how did they take that?
They were pretty surprised. They were having weird issues with their email, and then their IT team quickly dug in and realized that their email had been compromised. And so they basically, you know, asked us to halt everything that we were doing.
Yeah. And then Huntress does what Huntress does, instead of just saying, okay, no problem, we'll wait to get further information from you guys. Somebody on the Huntress team decided to start messing with the email person, the attacker. which I love. I mean, I'm here for the lols. But, you know, and then that's how you guys found out that another email box was also compromised, right? That other, the VP or the SVP at that company.
Exactly.
And I want to highlight, because that's a normal thing. The attackers will log into your email, set up forwarding rules, set up rules to automatically delete stuff. If they have exchange access, they'll do it at the transport level, so you don't even know what's happening in your inbox. But the idea is all this communication starts happening and the client has no idea, but you don't need some crazy, don't get me wrong. Yes, hopefully they use Huntress now, and hopefully they have Huntress's M365 MDR offering and all the other fun stuff, and maybe using Huntress's curricula, the SAT platform.
Yes.
But, you know, all of these things could have helped. I couldn't imagine a better sales pitch than we would have stopped this had you, you know, but with that said, I love the fact that the policies are what solved this here. So take us home. You find the, there's another person affected. Obviously their IT team is doing their IR and all that stuff. We're not going to talk about the technical stuff. That's not the point of this, but give me the outcome. So you identify, and were you able to salvage that $100,000 you guys were sending out?
Yes, we were able to stop it in time, fortunately, and we were able to send it to the correct banking information, and the vendor was able to receive their money.
I mean, that's a win-win.
And they're any, pretty small business, so $100,000 is a massive impact to them.
I can imagine. Yeah, because if you would have sent it out and it would have gone to the wrong bank account, obviously you would have had to do your dispute and challenges through your banking system. But realistically, and I'm not going to say anything for Huntress, but if this happened with any other business, they're probably not going to write another $100,000 check to that vendor while the investigation is going on, because most other companies don't have it to write, right? Like, so, you know, that other vendor, that small vendor, where I'd imagine they had significant costs in that $100,000, that would have had a material impact on them. Their ability to,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure would have affected their finances. This sounds like a win-win for everybody involved, except for the hackers. But
that is true.
You know, so what I need from you, Danielle, you know, I've told you the challenges that MSPs have sometimes speaking to non-technical people when expressing the importance of being aware, you know, the security awareness, being aware of what they're looking at on emails, of having these secondary policies. Is there anything you could say that made it click for you when you were being taught this stuff throughout your career that kind of cemented it? Because obviously it's not just you, your team is following this. That's why this happened.
Exactly. I think realizing the magnitude of it, seeing it in real time is something that resonates. And I think, you know, probably rolling out some type of phishing test along these lines and then implementing the training will help it stick. But then really it's just that tiny little bit of effort is what made the difference, instead of, you know, the easier route to go would have just been, okay, here's the email. Let me just do my job, you know,
yeah,
check it off and move on to the next thing.
It's so easy to fall into that just click, 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 go, 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 that like you have to be aware. Yeah, the awareness is key. Danielle, let me ask you one last question before we go. Any other tips you can give to any finance professionals or anybody out there that's non-technical, that's you know, things you would look for, things, you know, because you don't see a lot of security companies say also follow up via phone when you get an email that's weird. So any other practices you want to share?
I think that's really the big thing, is anytime there's changes in past vendors that you've worked with, banking information is single-handedly one of the most unusual things to jump out. It's not easy to change your bank. So as soon as you see that, that should be a standard practice of following up with a phone call. When in doubt, you know, just double check it all. It's always be, unfortunately, suspicious is the world that we live in today.
Yeah,
and just even that quick, you know, looking at the source on the email can make a big difference too.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad it worked out for everybody. I truly appreciate you guys not just handling this internally, but posting the blog post and sharing it with others so they can have the same, so they can learn from these moments and see how, you know, look at how it would have affected them. And I definitely thank you for coming on here and telling your story, Danielle. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And if you want to hear more about this, we'll put the link to the blog post and Danielle's LinkedIn in the show notes below. Feel free to comment here or hit us up on our Discord, and we'd love to continue the conversation. But until next time, everybody, thanks for joining us. This has been an MSP Dispatch Special Report. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.